Second Chronicles chapter 12, I want to talk to you tonight about preparing your heart, and obviously this is in preparation for tomorrow night's 90th anniversary beginning, and this has been preached on here before, not only by me, but by other pastors, and perhaps they brought this out. I have not yet. The Lord just showed me this the other day as I prepared this message, and I think it has to do with our heart's desires. Our hearts desire. We sang these songs tonight, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Well, he'll do that if you want that. But if we don't want that, he's very well just to leave us right where we're sitting. Draw me nearer, nearer, right? And that in James chapter 4, everybody knows the verse. God said, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto thee, unto you. And in that sense, God is waiting to respond to the desire of a man or woman's heart that they want to get closer to God. And he says, all right, you want to get closer to me? I'll come closer to you. But you want to get further from me? The Lord says, I'm going to hang right here. And he lets us go do what we want to go do. And so in those songs tonight, I hope that it stirred in you a desire in your heart. And that was true as you sang that, oh, to be like thee, precious Redeemer. And I said, you know, if we're just like Jesus, that's the work of perfection that the Holy Ghost began in us the day we were saved, and it'll be finished the day that the Lord takes us to heaven, and these vile bodies are fashioned like unto his glorious body, and the perfection of our body is complete, and we'll be spirit, soul, body, perfect, just like Jesus Christ when we get there, and that'll be a blessing. But that oh, to be like thee is a desire for Christian perfection. It's a desire not to stay where I am. It's a desire not to stay in an imperfect state. It's a desire to draw closer to God and to be more like Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that he does desire to conform us to the image of his dear Son. It's what the Lord's working on in our lives. So this preparing your heart, as we're going to see tonight, it has a lot to do with the desire of your heart. And we talk about coming to church. I told Sunday school folks, I've prayed for years, before every service, Lord, not only to prepare me, because he's got to do a lot of work on me before every service, but to be preparing your hearts, and that you would receive the word and be doers of the word, not hearers only, and that you would mix the preaching with faith, as it says in Hebrews 4, that it might be profitable and that it might be effectual. Hebrews chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, in our lives, and that's all fine, well, and good. And you know what? God wants to do that. He wants to work in your heart. He wants to be the Word of God to be effectual. He wants the Word of God to have free course. He wants all of that. But if we don't want that, then the Lord stands in his position and says, well, I'd like to do that, but I got to have that permission in your heart to do it. I'm not going to force it on you. So 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we're going to start off negative and try to get more positive. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says this. We'll begin reading. So King Rehoboam, you remember him, right? That's Solomon's son that split the kingdom because he didn't listen to the wise counsel. He listened to the foolish counsel. By the way, that's really good advice for our young people here tonight. You ought to listen to the older people around, not the young people around. Amen. Okay. And verse 13, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name on Mother's Day, amen, got to get that in there, was Naamah and Ammonitus. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart. And I'm so guilty, Brother Gary, I'm so guilty of stopping right there. The entire time I've pastored and preached, he didn't prepare his heart. And you gotta, you know, the Lord puts words in the Bible on purpose. They're not there on accident. And they're not there to be skipped. And so when we finish the thought, he prepared not his heart to do what? To seek the Lord. Well, obviously, if somebody is seeking after God, they're wanting God's help, and they're wanting God's favor, and they're wanting God's, as Brother Rick prayed, power in their life, and they want God's presence. I know He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, but you know as well as I do in your Christian life, you've had times where you felt like God's a million miles away. And Rehoboam here, he really saw no need for God to be in his life. He had no desire for God to be working and to be involved in his life. And because of that, he did evil. That's about as simple as God can put it. It says, let's stop there and pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for our church, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us tonight as we stand on the doorstep of these special meetings for the next 2 weeks. And Father, I pray that we, as we preach this morning, we would put all the cares of life out of our mind and heart. But God, I pray that there'd be a desire in every one of our hearts to draw closer to you. Lord, there'd be a desire in every one of our hearts to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, there'd be a desire in every one of our hearts to have our feet set on higher ground. And Lord, that we'd not be content where we're at today. But Lord, through the preaching of the next 2 weeks, that you would help us to draw nigh unto you. And Lord, we know that you'll draw nigh to us. Lord, help us to have a desire to see your hand and your power and your presence in our lives. And God, I pray that the word of God, as it goes forth tonight and the rest of the meeting, Lord, that it will have free course. And Lord, that it will be glorified here at Spring City Baptist Church, just like it is in heaven. And God, that you'd help us to love you like we should. And Lord, that we would please you with our lives. Thank you for being such a great God. Thank you for being so faithful. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. I said it this morning. I didn't really get into it because I knew I was going to mention it tonight. Over the last month or two here at our church, well, 3 or 4 months, we've planned, we've prepared the grounds, we've cleaned the church, we've purged things, we've prepared, we've made phone calls, we've got on schedules for catering. I mean, hotel reservations, airline reservations. I mean, we've done everything that we can possibly do. And I want to say it this way, outwardly, to get ready for this meeting. And everything that we have done outwardly is for just that. It's the outward appearance. I was out there working on that landscape, and the Lord was asking me, why are you doing this? I appreciate Him doing that because I just wanted to make sure my heart was right with Him as I did it. And He said, I appreciate the outside looking good. He said, but we're going to have to get everybody's inside in the right condition too. You're familiar, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. What does God look on? The heart. But man looks on the outward appearance. I have no desire whatsoever for these men and all these men are friends. I mean, they're dear friends. They're brothers in Christ. They've been to Spring City Baptist Church numerous times and preached the Word of God here. My desire is not that Brother Logan comes back and says, the place looks great. That would be totally useless if the heart of the people are not prepared to receive the preaching. It would be totally useless for someone to come back and to visit again. Brother Scott to walk in and, you know, say, how beautiful the sanctuary is. You guys did a great job renovating that. And then the preaching just fall on dead hearts and deaf ears. It'd be a waste of time, be a waste of money. And so while we've done all the outward appearance, presentation and preparation and all that's good and right to do, I really want us to focus tonight and tomorrow and the subsequent nights on our hearts and making sure that our hearts are in the right condition to receive the preaching of the Word of God and for God to do a work in our lives and that we would see His power. You know, you're in 2 Chronicles, right? Is that where you still are? Go over to chapter 16. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. God is reproving Asa for not trusting in God when the Syrians came up to battle against him. And the Bible says this in verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, the next 2 weeks at Spring City Baptist Church can be glorious weeks if our heart is perfect toward God, and we'll see the hand of God move. We'll sense his power. We'll sense his presence. What a great thing. But if our heart's not prepared and our heart's not perfect, God's under no obligation to show up and do anything. And so here in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, Rehoboam's taking over the kingdom. And man, I tell you, Rehoboam, he had it all handed to him on a silver platter, didn't he? And the silver platter didn't mean anything because it was worthless because they're so rich. Remember that? Silver was as stones and those that remember that. Anyway, so Rehoboam takes over and he listens to bad advice. And man, you know, that happens sometimes in life. And it cost him dearly. It split the kingdom 10-2. And the Lord really judged him difficultly or hard for that, harshly for that. And so here he is in verse 13. And the Bible says, so King Rehoboam, and the next two words are, strengthen himself. When you contrast that with David, the Bible says that David perceived that the Lord had established him as the king. So David waited for God to give him the favor with the people. David waited for God to knock the enemies down. David waited for the hand of God to show up in support of what God wanted him to do before he got busy being the king. And you know, he actually ran, he was anointed as a young man, ran for his life for about 12 years, as best we can tell, before he stepped in there. And still then, even then, he was the king, but he was in the city of David, which is just outside of Jerusalem for seven and a half years. And then he goes into Jerusalem, into the kingdom, into the palace. And nonetheless, but the Bible says that God established David's kingdom. It says the same thing about Solomon, that God established his kingdom. But Rehoboam, he did it himself. And what a mess it became. And the point of all that tonight is this, guys, every day, whether it's 90th anniversary special meetings or not, every day you and I all need God's power in our lives. We all need God's help in our lives. There's not a day that you and I wake up that we could get out of our bed and say, Lord, it's okay. I'll handle it all today. It's all under control. Don't worry yourself, Lord. He would roll his eyes in heaven and say, what a fool. Because he knows as well as you and I know, evil can pop up on you and I. We're not looking for it. We're not going after it. We're not pursuing it. But it can pop up and a circumstance pop up and we make a fool out of ourselves and do the wrong thing and make the wrong decision and cause all kinds of problems because we just say, you know, Lord, I don't need your help. I can handle it. And the Bible says we're not sufficient of ourselves. Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians 12, the Lord told him after he wanted that messenger of Satan to depart. The Lord told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And God said that God's strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness. And this is part of preparing your heart to seek the Lord. Why would we seek the Lord? We need his power. Why would we seek the Lord? We need his direction. You know, that seeking the Lord can be applied to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What is that? That's seeking the Lord. Lord, I want your direction. I want your wisdom. Lord, I want your hand to guide me through this decision or through this day or whatever it is. And he'll do that. Praise the Lord, he'll do that. But he's got to have a person that says, Lord, I want it. Nonetheless, Rehoboam prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And part of that reason is he thought he was self-sufficient. If you come back over to verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom. See, God didn't do it. Rehoboam's doing it. And had strengthened himself. There it is again. He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And of course, there's a lot of preaching we could do out of that we won't do tonight. And so I would say this tonight. There's a few major detriments that prevent us from seeking the Lord and preparing our heart to seek the Lord. The first, obviously, is a thought of self-sufficiency. It's a thought of I can handle it on my own. Being rich, as I said, Rehoboam took over at the richest point in Israel's kingdom. And really, he was still riding on the coattails of his daddy and the peace that God gave to Solomon. Even though Solomon, at the end of his life, you know very well, he failed miserably. But God still gave him that peace and granted him that peace so he could build that temple. And Rehoboam's riding on the coattails of that. And he thinks, I don't need God. I can handle this. I've got it all under control. And because of that, the Bible says he did evil. Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, come with me over to 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles 19. In contrast, aren't you glad of that? In contrast, there's two other men that God said did prepare their heart to seek after God. The first one is here in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Begin reading with me in verse 1. The Bible says, "In Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?'" Now, if you know your Bible and remember what's going on, Jehoshaphat had made affinity with Ahab. Not the brightest decision in the world. And he and Ahab, they're sitting there, you know, and we talked about this Wednesday night, and they getting all them false prophets come tell them all that positive preaching, right? Remember all that? And they go out to battle, and Ahab says, "Hey, Jehoshaphat, won't you put on the kingly garments? I'm going to go in disguise." And Jehoshaphat says, "Well, yeah, sure." So he puts on the big robe and gets in the chariot, you know. And what he didn't understand is that the enemy had said, "Now listen, don't shoot at anybody except the guy wearing the fancy robe." Just, you know, the Bible's a comical book. Really, it is sometimes. Anyway, and so this is after all that. Ahab, of course, dies. Hallelujah. God spares Jehoshaphat, and he sends Jehu, one of God's preachers, one of God's men, to Jehoshaphat, and he says, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" Well, you talk about a pointed message. That's a pointed message. And the Lord goes on to say, "Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land." Watch now. "And hast prepared thine heart to seek God." So here's a man. Now listen, Rehoboam, he did evil, and he did evil all of his days because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat, God said he did prepare his heart to seek after God, and he still made a wrong decision. But you know what? Genuinely, I believe Jehoshaphat made that decision with a clear conscience toward God. Ahab's as wicked as the day is long. I don't know what his reasoning was. But I know this, as Jehoshaphat and Ahab sat in that void place in the gate, remember that? And all those false prophets are out there prophesying, it's Jehoshaphat that speaks up and says, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here?" It's Jehoshaphat that tells King Ahab, "You need to listen to what Micaiah is saying. Don't say he's a fool. Don't say you don't like him. Let not the king say so." It's Jehoshaphat that's speaking up for God. It's Jehoshaphat that's trying to talk some sense into Ahab. Yeah, no, he had no business being down there, but God told him right here, he's done some good things. And he took away the groves out of the land, which is where they worshiped those false gods and idols. And the Bible says that he prepared his heart to seek God. And I would say this to you tonight, that even in affinity with Ahab, he sought for God's word and he sought for God's help. And you say, well, you know, isn't that a reason that somebody can, you know, be a little bit carnal and still be okay with God? No, no, no. Remember what God had Jehu tell him. That's not right. "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" God said, "I don't like you doing that." But he gave him a compliment that he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. I want to show you how this plays out. If you look at verse 5, 2 Chronicles 19, verse 5, the Bible says, now this is Jehoshaphat, okay? "And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, now any of you that have been ODAC's judges, here's Brother Dan's verse, and say to the judges, take heed what you do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord. I'd say that's a guy that respects God and loves God. It says, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. This is a man who loves God, and in his heart he's seeking after God. Otherwise, you don't say those things to people. He goes on to say, take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, verse 8, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord for the controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in the cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And I'm telling you that right there, those are the words of a king who loves God and who's seeking after God. Chapter 20. The Bible says this in verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle, and there came up some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazaron Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. You ever been afraid? And set himself to seek the Lord. What is it that set Jehoshaphat apart from Rehoboam? Well, Jehoshaphat, in his heart, he wanted to know, God, what do you want me to do? In Jehoshaphat's heart, he set forth to set those judges out throughout the land and to send those Levites out throughout the land, because what those guys are going to do is they're going to govern the people, but they're not going to govern the people based on public policy. They're not going to govern the people based on possibilities and popularity and those kind of things. They are going to govern the people according to the Word of God. And only a king who loves God and who's seeking after God is going to put that in effect in the land which he governs. And so Jehoshaphat is a good king, and he's doing these things because he's prepared his heart to seek after God. And you would think after doing all that good, there'd be no wars. But the next chapter, here come the Moabites and the Ammonites. And it puts fear in Jehoshaphat's heart because they're a small nation now. They're a small kingdom now. And instead of running like Asa did to Ben-Hadad of Syria, trying to get the Syrians' help, instead of running to the Philistines to get their help, Jehoshaphat feared the Lord and he sought after God and he asked God to help him. It's so simple, isn't it? It's such a simple principle. And yet God in heaven sits there and says, Jehoshaphat, thank you. Thank you for recognizing I can help you. Thank you for coming to me and getting my wisdom in this decision. Jehoshaphat, thank you for seeking after me and preparing your heart, son. Now watch this. And before we do the watch this, I just want to say to Spring City Baptist Church, are we not in the same position with the same God Jehoshaphat's in? And I think God might be sitting in heaven saying, okay, Spring City Baptist Church, what do you guys want? What's your heart on this 90th? Do you want me to work? Do you want me to show myself strong in your behalf? Or are you okay just to sit there for another 90 years? It comes to verse 19. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Watch. Believe in the Lord your God. so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That has got to be the weirdest battle plan in the world, Brother Gary. Wouldn't it be something if the American troops, next time they're getting ready to go into battle, and the general just said, all right, guys, let's strike up Amazing Grace. You ready? Amen. And those soldiers, I mean, they would be scratching their head. Are you kidding me? We're going to sing? Shouldn't we be shooting? Why are they doing this? Well, come back with me if you would. Let's pick up reading. Verse 14. So Jehoshaphat prays and asks, that's the verses 5 down through verse 13, is Jehoshaphat's prayer for God to help them. Okay, he's seeking after God. 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation and said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Boy, when God calls your name, you perk up, amen. He goes on to say, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Look at this wonderful line. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Hey, Spring City Baptist Church, it is not our job to build this church. That's Jesus' job. But I think he would probably appreciate a church that's seeking after him, and he'd be really willing to work for a group of people that want him to do something. And so Jehoshaphat prays this great prayer and he seeks after God. And God says, Jehoshaphat, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Keep reading. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. God tells them right where they're at. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jericho. Who needs drones and reconnaissance when you got God on your side? Right? Lord, just tell you right where they're at. Anyway, 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Now that's some comfort. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. It's a strange battle plan, Lord. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. Didn't he tell the Israelites that at the Red Sea? When Pharaoh's armies pursuing after him said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord opened that highway through that sea. It's amazing what God can do. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then verse 20, they go out and start singing. All right, pick up verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. I'm just saying, God will bless a group of people that seek after him way more than they ever thought he could. Now, the visitor shouldn't be the only one saying amen right there. But thank you for saying amen. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Why? Because a man sought after God, prepared his heart to seek God. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. You're familiar with Ezra and Nehemiah and the work that those guys did in rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall after captivity, Babylon coming in. Ezra chapter 7, the Bible says this in verse 6. Ezra 7:6, this Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Now, I appreciate Ezra, and I certainly appreciate Nehemiah. And Zerubbabel, I think, was a good man. He just he succumbed to that political pressure. You remember that. And but anyway, Ezra and Nehemiah, these are two valiant men. These are two men that stayed, listen to me, they stayed in love with God even when they were forced to leave their house in Jerusalem. They stayed in love with God even though their country was ransacked by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they didn't die, but you know as well as I do, they saw some horrific things. They heard some horrific stories. And they go and they're in this captivity kingdom where they're at in Babylon, and you know, Nehemiah, he's got a great job as a cupbearer, and Ezra, he's still a scribe, but it's to be commended of these men that when things didn't go well at home, they stayed true to God. And so here he is, the Bible says he's a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now what we call there, well, it's the same thing that happened to Nehemiah. Nehemiah stands in front of the king. The king says, what's the matter with you? And I prayed to the Lord. Remember all that Nehemiah prayer? And he tells him what's going on in Jerusalem, and he wants to go back and rebuild. And the king gives him full commission to go. Same thing right here with Ezra. Ezra makes request of the king to go back to Jerusalem. And the king says, absolutely, what do you need? You know what that is? That is God-given favor. That's all that is God turning the heart of that king. Now, these two guys, they got that favor. It wasn't just out of happenstance. It wasn't just willy-nilly. There's a reason why they got it. And it went up some of the children, verse 7, of Israel, and the priests and Levites and singers and porters and Nethinims into Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month came into Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 said that the hand of the Lord moves with the heart of those who are perfect toward him. So when Ezra's going, it takes him 5 months to get there. When Ezra's going and he comes into town, the Bible says that it was because of the good hand of God. God's hand is working in his life. Keep reading. 10, here's why. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and not just to seek it, but what? But to do it. And is that not the admonition in James chapter 1? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I think it was either Leonard Ravenhill or A.W. Tozer. One of these guys said this, and you'll forgive me for not remembering which one it is. But I'm gonna have to paraphrase it. But the paraphrase is a warning to the churches to not fall in love. Listen now, to just listening to preaching. You are gonna have over the next 2 weeks some of the best preachers America has to offer. God's hand is on these men. He is using them. He is blessing them. They are submitted to God. They're vessels in his hand, and God is using them in a great way. And we love these men. They're our friends. But I'm telling you, in this church, after all we've had for 90 years, it would be really easy to come in and look forward to listening to Brother Knox preach, but not have any desire to do anything that he says in the message. It'd be easy to come in here and look forward to listening to Brother Rick Baker preach. I can't wait. That man's got unbelievable wisdom from God. But I don't want to just hear Brother Rick, even though he's got that wonderful North Carolina accent and he's just as sweet as the day is long. Whatever God says through him, I want to do it. I don't want to just fall in love with listening to preaching. I want to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And here's these guys. Ezra, he didn't just prepare his heart to seek the law of God. Ezra has prepared his heart to do the law of God. And it's Ezra that sits down when he gets there and he pulls his hair out and he sits down astonished for a whole afternoon because he just can't believe the nation of Israel's disobeyed God. That's a different perspective, isn't it? But God's hand is on this man. And the reason God's hand is on him, the reason God's favor is in his life, is because Ezra prepared his heart to seek after God and the Word of God and to obey God. In Spring City Baptist Church, we've got a tremendous heritage here. We've seen God's hand work for 90 years. He can stop. If our hearts say, like the Laodicean church, we have need of nothing, God could say, okay, I'll let you sit right there till I come get you. And I don't want that. I want God's power to be evident in this place. Paul said as he went around, he wanted those churches praying for him that the preaching that he did would be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He didn't want to just be giving out vain jangling and talking like a cymbal, right? 1 Corinthians 13, all that charity stuff. He didn't want to go out and just be wasting his time, wasting people's time. He wanted there to be a purpose and he wanted God's power behind what he was doing. And would to God we'd have God's power behind everything that we're doing here. It's a busy church. I'd hate to get to heaven at the judgment seat and the Lord say, listen, I'm just going to show you a little glimpse of what could have happened if you'd have prepared your heart to seek after me. Let's not miss that opportunity. Let's not miss that principle in our lives. Amen. That's all I had about Ezra. But as we close tonight, our church, God deliver us from thinking like Rehoboam thought, that we don't need God's help. God deliver us from even the fear of Jehoshaphat of the enemy and thinking, well, we can't stand. God help us be like Jehoshaphat and Ezra and prepare our heart to seek after God. And I trust the Lord would tell us, he would say, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Stand still and watch me work. Just be faithful in what I've asked you to do and do it with a perfect heart and watch my hand move in your behalf and watch the favor. Listen, we have God-given favor right now in a number of our ministries. And that is because the people that are doing those ministries undoubtedly are doing them with a perfect heart toward God. But guys, I don't want to come in to 2 weeks worth of meetings and spend $15,000 of God's money over 2 weeks and it all just be vain and it all just be empty. And at the end of 2 weeks, we say, well, that was a good meeting, but we're not changed. We're not any closer to God. We're not excited about the next 90 years. That'd just be a waste. Amen? Just be a waste. So I hope we realize that we need God's hand of blessing upon us. I was getting ready to say earlier, we've got a great heritage at this church. We ought to praise God for it. But that heritage won't carry us tomorrow. The fool says, well, we used to. The fool says, well, back in the day. The fool says, well, yeah, back when Brother Odom was here. And those were great days. And that's not to diminish them at all. But he's not here anymore. And we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to rapture us out of here. But it could be another 90 years. And boy, I don't want this place... I know I said it Wednesday night. I don't want the doors to close at this place because when it does, if it does, God's going to take a big hit in Russell County. And all the enemies of the cross will say, look there. It didn't matter. All that preaching, those 30 years of preaching off that float, what good did it do? All those years running that radio station, what good did it do? All those billboards they bought, what good did it do? All those doors they knocked. All those times they had church over there. All those messages got preached from that Bible that they said was the Word of God. So I hope we realize we need God. But more than that, I hope we want Him. And I hope that tonight you'll go home and tomorrow and you'll prepare your heart not to just come and be at a church service, not to just say hi to old friends from over the years, but you'll come prepared to seek after the Lord and to seek His law and to do it. And to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for the Word.